one word that has so much power and passion behind it: inspire. Do you surround yourself with people that inspire you? On this episode, my guest is a dear friend of mine, a mentor, someone who has called me out on my BS and blind spots and is paving his own path in this life and raising his level of consciousness. And that is Zoe Wims, also known on social media as King Zoe, is a high-performance coach and six-figure entrepreneur helping you reach your full personal potential, and has absolutely transformed his life through his own mind, well-being, financial goals, and fitness goals. So I hope you enjoyed this episode with Zoe Wims on A Walk Back to Self-Love. All right, welcome back to another episode of A Walk Back to Self-Love. It has been a little while. I've had to pull back a little bit, take some time, make some serious life choices, and now I'm on the other side of it for the most part, and I couldn't think of a better guest than a dear friend of mine, my former fitness trainer, a fellow mentor of mine, and a high-performance lifestyle coach. And I want to introduce you to Lorenzo Wims, an amazing soul here in this human experience that I've just been very fortunate to align with. So Lorenzo, Zoe, you know, I call you both, but how are you today?
I'm blessed. Oh man, that was a phenomenal introduction. I definitely appreciate that. So I love it.
From the heart center. So I figured before we dive into what we're going to talk about on this episode, I wanted to start us out because we both are all about the path of authenticity and aligning our energies with the highest good and our soul's path. And today's message that I found from the Moon Tarot on Instagram said, when your reality differs from your expectations, trust in your divine plan. Break down the box that you're trying to fit in and instead find a little comfort in how you show up today.
Ooh, I like that. That speaks volumes.
And I thought that that was fitting because we have had tons of conversations about breaking outside of the box, whether it's the city you live in, your upbringing, you're in. So how do you feel right now where you're at in your life about living the unconventional life and not following that imaginary society line that shoved down our throats?
I like that. Well, you know, you're a few steps ahead of me, Amber, but I'm right behind you. I'm actually at the end of a chapter of my life. So these are things that I will definitely take on to the next chapter into my life. But it feels like I'm at a crossroad, you know, and I'm still emotionally, mentally, I'm ready for the next wave of life. But physically, I'm still present, you know, where I'm at right now. And I know that maybe there is another lesson that I need to know for you viewers. I'll be in this city for about 4 more months. And so that's why I'm saying before I enter my next chapter, because I know some of you guys probably don't know anything about me. But right now, I'm just really at a place where I'm soaking everything in. You know, I just closed a chapter of a business. This time it was a blessing because last time the business forced me to in that chapter of my life. And this time it was by my choice. Lost some good friends through betrayal, stabbing in the back, got my heart broke, all that good jazz from business and personal, which all equates to relationships. But, you know, looking at that, going into my next chapter throughout this time where I'm at right now, it gives me time to really reflect, you know, and to reevaluate my life, maybe some wrongdoings that I've done to others or some things that I need to set boundaries because of how others, you know, done me and whatnot. So right now, I feel like I'm in a great place mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. I'm in a place where I'm putting myself back together, but stronger and intentional about every piece that I put back into my life. So, yeah.
Intentional living is so important. And before we continue, let's give people a little bit of a background. Like, you have done the clock in, clock out type of lifestyle. for career, but what led you to the path of a high performing lifestyle coach?
Yes, right now I'm easing into that. Currently, reason why I'm still here in Fort Wayne, Indiana is because I'm finishing up 10 years. So I'd be invested into the school system, worked in the school system for, you know, 9.5 years now. So this December would make it 10 years for me. But my heart is an entrepreneur or not. But becoming this high performance lifestyle coach, I tied it in from my fitness. You know, I love the physical aspect of it, but as an entrepreneur, and understanding to a certain degree of, I like the mind, so I like psychology, but I realized that we live in a time where working out and fitness, people really have to want to do it. Even if they're paying for it, they still can BS it. So I used to always try to manipulate people in a positive way to get them to become their higher selves. And may that be through lifting something that they never fathomed picking up. And just to create this positive wave of this new belief that they can do, which, you know, when you conquer something like that, it can transfer over into other areas of your life. You know, so with that being said, I've been doing that for the last decade, pretty much that, and working in the school, always just been around people, you know, from the kids to the adults, you know, and just been really observing and paying attention to people's mentality, their mindsets, you know, what are some of the blockages, why, even if you give someone everything, they still may be stubborn and not want to grow and to achieve their higher versions of themselves. So leading me into becoming, you know, this high performance lifestyle coach, it's now, if you want to come to me, you're going to have to spend the dollars and invest that money for your time, because now I know that you're serious about changing your life to a higher level. You know, when it came to fitness and things of nature like that, just being a personal trainer, fitness coach, a gym owner, it didn't matter, you know, in that field of life. Yes, I helped some people change a few lives here or there, but it saddened me to see so many people come in with this potential that can pivot their lives in so many different directions, but it's like they didn't really come there for that. They just want to look good. Because if it was up to them, they had the money, they'd go see Dr. Miami. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, okay, I'll see. Because I got to the point where I started seeing some clients that they lose that weight. And then, you know, they couldn't wait to go get the little lipo done or, mm-hmm. you know, a little tummy tuck real quick and then be done with fitness. So I'm like, your mindset is already in the wrong area. This was supposed to be part of your new lifestyle. You're looking for a destination and thinking that, oh, that's it, I made it. So, you know, becoming this performance coach, it's like you're coming to me wanting that mentality so you can change your life into a lifestyle, this high performance lifestyle, you know. And yeah, we're not going to settle for mediocre or average because we're allergic to that shit.
Well, you know, Zoe and I have had plenty of conversations and disagreements when it comes to expansion. And Zoe, I will say, Zoe has held me accountable to shit that I was resistant to. But looking back, it was my own fear of the unknown and mm-hmm. my own limiting beliefs of what I can achieve. So I do want to take a moment to say thank you, because Zoe was actually a very dominant voice in my life to launch this podcast. He's like, who cares? Just do it, Amber. Just do it.
Do it. Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
Now with fitness, obviously it's a tangible product. You know, you're investing in your body. You're going to start to see the numbers on the scale go down. You're going to start to see your muscles increase. You're seeing that trainer every day with the equipment, or a couple times a week. But when it comes to, and this is more of a question for you and those listening that want to upgrade their mindset, especially after everything we went through with COVID and everything that's shifting on our planet and in society, mm-hmm. how do you make someone invest or inspire someone, I should say, to invest in something that isn't tangible, like a fitness trainer? Because most people kind of scowl at life coaches, like, oh, that doesn't work. But it really does, because they're there to point out your blind spots.
Okay, this is a challenging question. For one, I live in the Midwest, so I'm not generalizing by any means, but where we live, we're not the most health conscious. We're trying to be, but we still want our cookies and our cakes and eat it too, you know, with the rewards of, you know, having that beautiful beach body. It just doesn't work like that. And I really realized that, like, for me, I know I feel like I'm in a different area for how I want to inspire people, how I would like to inspire people. I'm in the wrong area for it, but it's beautiful because I got to be challenged in a different way and still help some of these people. And the demographics that we have here, you know, are becoming more health conscious and more aware of health, but there's still this disconnect between don't do it for the way that you're going to look, this and that, et cetera. This is should be just part of your well-being. This is should be part of your lifestyle, how you clock into work every day for that paycheck. This is another check off your list that you are a well-rounded, healthy individual, you know, because your health is your wealth. But, you know, that's one of the things I try to help educate other people when it comes to the fitness industry, but they don't want to hear that stuff. You know, the clients were not, they just want that body or whatever it may be and just do it. But I'm learning now that we're in different times where we are in the information age, where I would respect the person that is ignorant to a certain situation of, like, maybe they didn't realize that they were eating unhealthy or this and that, et cetera. But if you do know, now you're being stubborn. I can't work with somebody that's being stubborn, because you do know you refuse to do better. You know, I would rather deal with a person that's ignorant, because that's now we have room for growth. You know, so I feel like we deal with a lot of stubborn people in the state of Indiana. They all are aware, but they want to take the shortcuts and find the easier routes. This, and I've seen so many people that, you know, with, you know, maybe look at me, fit shame me or whatever in their own little way. And now that I shut down my business, they're like, oh, I just always wanted to train with you, but I was just so afraid, this and that, et cetera. Why were you afraid? That's something personal with yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, that has nothing to do with me. That's something that has to do with you, because I'm a professional, okay? I understand what fitness level that you're at, and we're going to meet you there. You want to find something easier, which is okay, or something that you feel that you can go and still check that off your list. My goal is to change your body, even if you're kicking and screaming. That is our common, that's our goal. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just like, I know I can do that, but it's unfortunate to see so many people, and I'm not knocking any other fitness trainers and this and that, et cetera, but I do see a lot of bodies that remain the same throughout the years and time. You know, they're doing this program, they're, you know, doing these workouts, et cetera, you know, and it's just like, that client is not really getting what they need, though, mentally and physically. You know what I mean? And I even undervalue myself of my worth financially, you know, in the city of Indiana to, you know, give my expertise. And that still wasn't enough, Amber. You know, so it's like, it's not even about the finances. And what's crazy is, I know a lot of people probably don't know how my studio was set up, but pretty much I turned the whole apartment into a fitness boutique, if you will call, or a studio. And it was a money-making revenue machine. This, I'm an entrepreneur. So I even had a tenant living there, you know, I had my office there and everything else, 3-bedroom. It was all set up as a studio to work out in and just generate profit. And what's so crazy is that, and no bashing my roommate, and we're not, or, you know, the person that was staying in the burn zone at that time, but they never took advantage of the opportunities that was right in front of them. And me and this individual even had conversations, you know, because I was the type of person that's like, yeah, I know you live here too. Don't ever feel like you have to be obligated to work out or eat healthy. I'm like, dude, order your pizza, this and that. This is my lifestyle. Like, I have to choose not to eat that pizza, this and that, et cetera. I never want you to feel any type of way. But one thing that I've learned is that a person can have that gold or that answer right in front of them, unless they value it, it doesn't matter. you know, it doesn't matter, you know, because I got used to hearing excuses. And this is one thing, you know, what high performance lifestyle coaches do. They challenge you in a way where they take away your excuses to make you face, you know, the opportunities in a sense. You know, let's get rid of the excuses. Okay, that's your excuse. Bet. How about this? That's your excuse. Bet. How about this? Now we're just going to finally get to the point where you're just scared or you just really don't want to do it or you don't want it that bad, you know?
Right.
So this is financial. Maybe it's you getting out of debt. Maybe it's you losing the weight. Whatever it may be, it's still that same discipline mindset, you know? Like when I got myself out of debt of $85,000 out of 4.5 years, I called it my financial diet plan. And the reason why I
called it crazy. That, no, let's just pause for a moment and take ahead. That in. You just said $85,000 in 4 years you paid off.
Yeah, 4.5. Yes, ma'am.
That's, I mean, congratulations. A lot of people are living with that plus and don't know where to begin.
Right.
I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah, it was heavy.
You're like, yes, I know. So where did you begin? What inspired you to figure out a plan? And did it come natural or did you have to seek out mentors to help you with that?
A little bit of both. Actually, what happened is my math teacher, I got to give it to her. Her name is Cagle Lewis now, but it was Kathleen Cagle. That was her name, but she just got married. So now it's Kathleen Lewis. She's one of my math teachers at the school. About 7 years ago for my birthday, she gave me the book Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And she told me that she was starting herself getting out of debt. And then she helped me create a spreadsheet that she was using, to calculate all my expenses, this and that, et cetera. Now we got hella more technology to do a lot of this stuff for us. But at this time we just was creating our own system. And so when she gave it to me, you know, I added my little fling to it, you know, named it financial diet, this and that, et cetera. So reading a book, this and that. No, I do not agree with everything. If you read Money Makeover, I don't agree with everything that he says, but his principles of getting yourself out of debt, 90% of that does work. And it will work for pretty much anybody. If you're serious, you know, you got to make those sacrifices. But when she gave me that book, you know, me and her used to meet every blue moon. And once I figured it out and I got it,
yeah.
All I had to do was just stay with the system, you know, and it was no different than it. I looked at it as, oh, this is just like losing weight or getting on a strict diet to reach a certain goal. You know, yes, I want to go out to eat, or yes, I love to have this drink, or yes, I love to eat that piece of cheesecake, or yes, I would like to do that. But every time you do that, I know that it's going to do something to my body in a negative way. So on the flip side of it, when it comes to the finances, every time that I splurge or pay for this or, you know, spend money on this, yeah, it might not be much, this and that, et cetera, but it takes away from my goal. You get what I'm saying? It's still, at the end of the day, it's a negative. And no matter how we want to look at things, there are no excuses. It's just you chose a different decision that went against your goals and you denied your focus and your discipline, you know, which is hard for a lot of people to do, because the first thing that they're going to do is like, oh, you don't understand this and that. And the reason why I say this is that it's not easy by any means. And depending on if you're single, because you and I are single people, so it's 1,000 times even harder.
But let me interject when you're finished that statement and let me say something to that.
Go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
No. I just wanted to throw into the conversation, but there's also that incorrect mindset that just because you don't have kids or a significant other that you should be rolling in the dough. And I'm not saying that that's incorrect, but you don't know. It's a case by case situation. Like, people just assume because you're single that you should have all this money and you should be living a stress-free life. And that's not the case. That's
Amber.
Not the case.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. This is what I would tell a person. It's like, because I work in a school too. It's like, it's actually harder for people with no kids and not married, because we have some even more temptation. You're obligated, if you have children or a spouse, to handle certain things like a responsible, mature adult. I don't have to do certain things if I don't want to. So that means it takes fucking discipline. Excuse my language.
No, you're fine.
You know, so that means that I have to really tell myself, dude, go get the groceries. Dude, you're almost out of toilet paper. Dude, this, that. You get what I'm saying? I have to self-parent myself even more. When a person with children or whatnot, you're already that it's already on that I have other bodies that I have to take care to, that I had to adhere to. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But they don't think about it like that. They just look at the freedom, but more freedom comes more responsibility and saying no in a different way, because,
we know, we've talked about this. I mean, yeah, I've been single for, gosh, like 8 years. So, you know, I've had to really learn how to self-parent and be more responsible with my money, because no one's there to tell me, Amber, don't do that. No, we can't spend that. Oh, the kids need this. You know, it's just mm-hmm. been me. So yes, right. it's a positive and a negative, you know, and mm-hmm. it really does take a lot of self-discipline. Now, let me throw in this angle as well. Where we're at right now in society, a lot of people, including myself at times, I find myself going into that limiting belief, but it's because it's shoved in our face. Inflation. Prices are increasing. I mean, I moved to Burlington, Vermont almost a month ago, and the cost of living here is quite expensive. Housing market is shortage. So what? How do you tell your clients, or what is your mindset right now currently with everything like gas prices, inflation shoved down your throat in every media outlet of like, oh, it's so hard for people to live and thrive. How do you challenge that?
I mean, I'm going to say this. I don't like getting into politics and things like that too much, but it's like, that's another excuse for us as Americans. You know, mm-hmm. Americans are supposedly to be natural entrepreneurs. So we've been dealing with, especially you and I, we've been seeing inflation throughout our whole life.
Right.
I know you remember when gas used to be like 95 cents, Amber.
Yes.
So, yes. And minimum wage was $5.25, Amber.
Yeah.
Okay, so now in Cali, if minimum wage is $18, nothing really changed. People are just looking at it in a different way. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, it's like, okay, cool. You know, it's still a frame of thinking. So, like, for example, it's hard to say, because when a person has that 9-to-5 mindset, they have a handout looking for that check. I do work for time so I can get this check. But an entrepreneur sees things as, what can I create to make money? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, that's true. It's a different mindset.
It's a different mindset. So for example, like for me getting myself out of debt, I had to be so strategic and strict and making different sacrifices and putting myself out there in different ways, such as I already knew my school money, that was there to pay off my debt. My burn zone money had to pay for everything within burn zone, utilities, all that stuff, internet, everything that, you know, entailed into that. And then outside of that, if I wanted to do anything extra, either I had to upsell things, maybe selling smoothies, heart rate monitors, helping people move, finding, you know, refurbishing things that I see my apartment complex people throw out, clean it up, and then put it on Facebook Market and get some dollars for it. You know, it's I made about $5,000 helping people moving and taking some of their old stuff and putting it on Facebook Market and upselling it. You get what I'm saying? But I had to do the work though.
Right. And you are a natural born entrepreneur. Would you agree with that?
I would say I turned into an entrepreneur. I'm a natural born hustler.
Okay, well, you know, that's kind of the same thing. Like, if you it is the same thing. You,
yeah, I'm just not no excuse no more, man. It's legit now. Yeah. Yeah, everything.
I would say if you have the hustle, you definitely have the mindset to be an entrepreneur. But do you think that there are just some people that don't have that entrepreneurial spirit to them, or do you think it's always in everybody?
That's a challenging question, because I look at it like this. You got to compare it to a mother that is trying to feed her children. She will find a way. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. That's entrepreneur spirit. And what's the difference? So only difference is the adversity is so challenging to you that you're going to force yourself to figure it out. But when the adversity is not that challenging to you, and you know that maybe you can get a few dollars here from this person or this, that, you still got that little safety net, but life is not the way you want it. You're kind of being lazy, or, you know, playing the victim role to a certain degree. You don't have enough pressure on your life, or you just don't care. That is my perspective, you know?
Right. Yeah, no.
Especially in America. In America. I can't speak for other countries. In America, there's this amount of opportunities.
I'll tell you what. The start of 2022, you know this, though. But the start of 2022, I spent a week in flight attendant training. Yeah. And I thought this was it. I found my niche and I'm going to be a flight attendant for the rest of my life. And I had to spend 1 week in there to realize, no, this isn't it. But I ended up meeting a dear friend and soul sister to this day that took that also left the training and didn't feel like it was the right path for her. And she moved to the United States from Germany about 4 years ago. And her and I talk about everything from the difference between Germany versus the US. And one of the things that she said to me that stays in my mind and it just rang as and resonated as truth is she's like, so many Americans leave the money on the table. And that's why there are so many immigrants that will come here and make millions and billions off their businesses because Americans want to bitch about it.
Yeah.
But they're also leaving the money on the table while other people are right behind, like, whoop, let me just scoop that up. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Hey, Amber.
So I had to say that because it was so true.
I'm glad you just said that. Like I'm so glad you said that. So like for years since I've been in Indiana, I've been trying to form and build this team. You know, this entrepreneur team for people that a lot of people, some people like their jobs, but a lot of people really would love to like not have to work like that. You get what I'm saying? Have money coming in to be able to travel with their kids more, this and that, et cetera. But they don't know the how or they're afraid to. So I realized a lot of people gravitate towards me because I just do different things and figure out different ways to make money or not. But one thing I tried to let them know is that we have to have the mindset of immigrants. So like these people are willing to sacrifice, live in one house together. You know, you might have to sleep on an air mattress for 8 months to a year, this and that. You just got to wait your turn. So when Tom gets his house first, you can't get jealous and envious because you got to stay focused on the process. Because guess what? He might got his house first, but guess what? All of us still working together and things are going to continue to get better. So when you get your house, it's probably going to be even better. You get what I'm saying? But but if you get impatient, now you're going to F it up for everybody. And now you left with nothing. And now it's just like, this is the issue though. We're so selfish, so self-centered, you know, and we're greedy and we don't know how to really come together and work together. You know, these immigrants come over and it was like, oh, y'all tripping. Oh, you don't want this? Let me get this bag then. Y'all move. Yo, Susu, Ching Ching. Yo, hey, come on. Hey, yo, we all staying up in here, 30 of us deep. Y'all better lay on that floor.
I'll tell you what, I have just a newfound appreciation for taking the road less travel. Like I've always been that free spirit that never connected to like the city I was raised in, the path that was always being shoved down our throats. But even now, as a 38-year-old woman, I am so glad that I'm still on the path less traveled. Like, I'll tell you what, like right now I don't have a vehicle because situations in my life just happened to present itself and I decided with the situation not to find a car. But I'll tell you what, where I'm living is a commutable city and I'm now traveling on a free bus system and I'm saving that money that I would spend in a car payment, car insurance, gas, and enjoying the energy exchanges that I am feeling and seeing every day by riding the bus. A hustle. It is a hustle to get your shit together to be ready at 7:20 a.m. to get your ass to work by 8. Yep. But you know what? You think about how I don't have to pay a car payment this month. I don't have to worry about where the gas prices are at this week. It's like immigrants, I feel, inspire me so much because it's like to see the mindset and the business mindset and the way that immigrants can just pick up that money and run with it is fucking inspiring to me.
Yeah, they take advantage of those opportunities in front of them. You know,
but
you know, this goes back to our conversation earlier about that mindset, about trying to inspire people to do different things, et cetera. For some reason that we are in the information age, and no matter what field it is, we are in the information age. So now it's like you don't have an excuse, because we have YouTube University. You know, now shoot, we got TikTok University. There's so much information out there that is crazy. It's abundant.
Which, yes, and I don't mean to cut you off. Which, let's talk about your TikTok game, okay?
Oh shit.
You know, like, no, let's talk about it. It's its own market now, correct?
It's
correct. People are making money off of TikTok and yes. YouTube and Instagram, but like TikTok has now, like, I saw a commercial, I think on Hulu, and it said, "What I learned on TikTok." Mm-hmm. I mean, it's its own entity. Yes, so how have you seen and prospered from this new level of entrepreneurship?
It helped me in many ways. It really was helping me with depression at a time. Working at the high school, the kids kept advising me I should get on TikTok, you know, and I'm just like, I ain't got time for that, this and that, et cetera. So the pandemic came around and, you know, I'm left in the house alone, trying to be creative and try to take my business, do online stuff, this and that, et cetera. But I need something more stimulating. And I picked up that TikTok, did one of them stupid TikTok dance, and it went from there. It went from there, you know, end up, I'm at like 70,000 right now. But this is the thing. One thing that I learned, though, Amber, is that when you're moving forward in life, like, there's always going to be some adversity and challenges. So by me working in the school system, because some of my content was a little sexual, but nothing crazy, you know, to me, it was just entertainment. You know, sometimes I was just acting this and that, because I'll go from inspiring you, giving you some daily words of wisdom all the way to Mr. Sexy Man and being funny, this and that, et cetera. You know, I can just bounce around like that. And, you know, I had a very diverse, eclectic audience and, you know, had a few, I never had, so I was in HR 3 times after the pandemic when we first went back to the school. And it did nothing but discourage me, you know what I'm saying? So with that being said, though I get paid on my TikTok, but it hurt my TikTok because this is something I would tell another entrepreneur, and this is why I love watching you go through what you're going through and just saying F it. Like, when you didn't want to do the flight attendant thing, I understood it, because right now, you know, this would be the last time I would pigeonhole myself in a situation like this by me holding my guns towards getting my 10 years at the school. I'm locked in that I can't do certain things. You get what I'm saying? So it was a sacrifice that I had to make for something that in my long-term happiness, nah, I know I need to do it, because I thank myself later financially to a certain degree. But right now, as an entrepreneur, a creative, it's killing my spirit. So watching you know, make the moves that you did, it's like you're following. We don't know where it's going to land us. It's like a paper airplane that is going to land.
But do we ever?
Is that? Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah, because life is crazy like that when you're moving forward. But you're moving forward intentionally in your own way right now. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And as I am in a different way, but I can't move with the intent that I would like to move, because it stifled my TikTok growth. And to be creative like that, you know, I had to second think. And for a while, I just went off of it for like a year, almost a year and a half. I just really started getting back on it a little bit, you know, within the last month because of it, you know, so.
Yeah. So let's, you know, I got a couple more things I want to chat with you about, but one of them is, and you just talked about it, how you had to, and along with a lot of businesses, how did you pivot during the pandemic when things started to shut down? Fitness was one of the top industries that were feeling hopeless outside of the restaurant industry.
Oh my God. Let me tell you, Amber, the 2020 pandemic was one of the best times of my life with my fitness. This is why, because two reasons. I built the online platform. You know, I was training people in Mexico, South Africa, Australia, all over the States. And then, but on top of that, because, you know, I know how you are with this pandemic, but it was in my gut, man. It was a spiritual thing. It was just in my gut. I know this COVID stuff is still lingering around here, there, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I'm like, yo, this is the health field, you know? And it's like, okay, maybe not go to a big gym, but I'm a small, intimate gym. So I can do right. one person or maybe two or three people at a time at social distance. And I did that shit. I didn't advertise it on like social media and things like that, but I, you know, was hitting people up in messages. A lot of people, that was like part of my job. And man, I was booked all day, Amber, all day.
Wow.
You know, I was booked all day. You know, I even had to go through the times where one of my clients was a nurse and found out that I was doing it and got pissed at me and was like, you know, we out here risking our damn lives and
right.
you're putting people's lives in jeopardy, this and that. Because, you know, I'm a thinker. So I'm like, yo, this ain't our first pandemic and this and that, et cetera. I'm like, yo, this is a new flu. I'm like, okay, when I start seeing LeBron James, you know, Steph Curry, some of these high athletes start dropping like that, you know, that don't have asthma or some other health complications, I'm going to start getting a little worried. You know what I'm right. saying? But right. when it's just your everyday people to a certain degree, this now, I don't care if they're a movie star, this, that, they don't mean they take care of themselves like that. You know, it's like, nah, I'm not buying it. So now, I hate saying it, but it's like, now I look back and I'm like, I'm glad I did what I did, because what happened to COVID the way that it did? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, when you look around and look at it, yeah, people are still wearing masks, this and that, et cetera. But it's just like, oh, it was that bad though, huh?
This is why I want to label this episode The Path of Authentic Living, because you had a choice to make in that moment. You knew you were going to get met with resistance.
Yep.
You knew you were probably going to piss some people off.
Mm-hmm.
You probably were going to get met with some political and societal discussions, but you
right.
still held true to what your soul was telling you was to help people keep their health in an uncertain time.
Definitely. You know. Yeah.
So in a lot, I have heard some businesses that were like, hey, I've made more money during the pandemic than I ever did prior. You know, I think, again, it goes back to if you are a natural born hustler or you have that entrepreneurial spirit, you're going to pivot no matter what is going to be thrown at you, because that is your purpose. That is your soul's path. That is you living out your authentic life. Now, with that being said, let's change the tune a little bit and talk about relationships and romantic relationships. Hey.
Hey!
So, do you find that who you have now embraced and evolved into as a man in society, is it hard for you to date and find like-minded women, or do you meet a lot of insecurities because you are so high driven and high performing with everything that you do, including your mindset?
I want to say yes, because of where I live. When I go to bigger cities or whatnot, it's easier for me to connect with women that kind of get it. No, nobody's perfect, don't get me wrong, but you know, I feel like I will have probably healthier relationships in bigger cities, in more open-minded cities. I'm in a very close-minded, conservative city. You know, I'm not one to think as soon as you get done with college that you should find that husband or wife, you know, get the babies, this, that, white picket fence. I don't think like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So these women here kind of are looking for that to a certain degree, you know. And so I come across as emotionally unavailable, but it's like that's.
But you're really not.
I'm really
know you
not.
As a friend, and you're not.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm glad you said that, because I'm really not. It's just more so like, are you worth my emotional time?
Your emotional standards.
Yeah, man, you know, and, you know, after this last breakup that I just had, like, I value that even more, you know, and I feel like I needed that going into my 40s. You know, I still have 2 years, but it's just like, it was mind-opening. And I feel like where I'm at today, if marriage was on my roster, on my list, I would be about ready to marry someone if I had that right person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If we were able to connect like that, like where I'm at mentally, you know, years before this, like, nah, I wasn't. Because I feel like at age of 33, I really just start realizing like, oh shit, I'm a grown ass man now. And like, whoa, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then throughout that time, still kind of doing some boyish things, but still evolving maturely in my own way And then now, you know, I'm just like, yo, I think I'm ready. And, you know, it's hard though, because I'm somebody that I dated five different generations, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you mm-hmm. know? And I had my best relations with my 50, 60 year olds, man. The people around my age, it just depends if they're a career driven woman or if they're looking for that spouse, which are both can be detrimental depending on, you know, what type of partner that they're actually looking for. Because that career driven woman, we can have some dope conversations and, you know, be doing these trips, this and that, et cetera. But now you can come to that conflict where she don't know how to be submissive at times or feminine. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because she's so used to running shit or whatever. And
yeah.
You know, obviously the woman that is looking for that spouse, I'm definitely going to come across emotionally unavailable, because they're looking to build in a different type of way than the entrepreneur or the go-getter woman, you know.
Right, because they want the family, the kids, the 9-to-5 type right. of life. Yeah. And I think that you kind of touched on something, the submissive. I believe, and I say this as a woman, and for my own needs, I would be submissive with a man if it was the correct man, because not every man deserves a woman that's submissive.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
You know,
I don't disagree with that at all. You know,
and I think that when it comes to the feminine energy, and I can only ever speak from my perspective, it has taken years and healing and growing and different relationships mm-hmm. to understand that it's hard when you're an alpha female like myself to release that feminine energy when you have to protect yourself out in work environments, out in society,
right.
On social media, with strangers, that you're always in that masculine energy, that it's really hard to drop the feminine energy and feel comfortable. But that man has got to be trustworthy to step forward and allow that woman to show her feminine energy, because not every man deserves that.
I'm not going to disagree. Not
now, how is all. It from a male perspective with that? Like, how do you need to feel safe with a woman?
I would say this. I definitely feel like, believe it or not, I feel like real men lead with their heart, you know? And what I mean by that is that it's like, we love different. So I need to know that if we get to a certain point in the relationship and I start to feel that I can tell you some of my secrets or the things that I won't share with everybody other than people that are close to me, that you won't use it against me, you won't manipulate it, you won't make me feel less of a man, and you will cherish those things and embrace it. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I tell you something, let's just hypothetically speaking, let's just say if I was telling you, Amber, and we were dating and I was just like, hey, you know, I'm recovering from abandonment issues, you know, so when people walk out of my life, this and that, et cetera, it triggers me. So if we're arguing, we're not, it's like, you know, we have to communicate, you know, just don't storm off this and that, because I might feel like you might not ever come back and you might trigger me. And it's like, by you knowing that, and then you do that shit to me, it's like you're slapping me in my face.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And now I feel like I can't trust you. You know,
right.
As a woman, you know, every man is different, but I think a lot of men, real men, probably can relate to that, because we're more so simple, you know, because we already kind of are hardened in a different way anyways. But this is what I would say to you, know, Amber, to go back to that new age woman that you're speaking of,
mm-hmm.
That strong woman. We open the floodgates for women to evolve, you know. I don't know when it was, the 70s, women's rights, things of that, equal rights, and we're not. So now, you know, we're like 3-4 generations in. So now we really seeing it, you know, but we never had a time for men to understand what this woman will evolve into. So
mm-hmm.
you got this old mentality of this mindset and no floodgates open for men. But now my generation and younger are doing it ourselves, of like looking at women like, nah, just because you're a female, or, you know, just because you have a vagina does not mean that you're worth this for me as a man. So you telling me that you're not going to give me wife qualities and materials until you feel a certain type of way. Well, why should I give you husband qualities and material, you know, things of nature like that until I feel a certain type of way? So now we're, I hate where we're at right now, because it almost feel like men and women are starting to go against each other. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think that pride gets in the way. Like, even for me, like how you said you're overcoming a heartbreak, in a way I kind of am too, but it's kind of like a standoff. You know, that's where we're at, I think.
Yeah.
When you're a new age woman, you're alpha, whatever you want to label it, you're kind of like standing your ground saying, hey, this is what I'm bringing to the table. This is my needs. Right. Yes, I can be emotional, but I will do everything and anything to make sure that you are loved, appreciated, nurtured, but don't cross me. Don't do X, Y, and Z. And so it's that like dipping your toe in and then taking it out and dipping it in. And it's like, it's this dance.
Like that.
It's this dance, and you gotta, and I understand that men do. And what I've learned is that, and you talked about it, men battle with abandonment issues, whereas most women are battling rejection issues.
Yeah.
And so it's that dance, and you're like, you just got to have that dance with the person that you want to dance with. And that even if you have a blowout, you know that you'll always come back to each other. But sometimes you're kind of waiting, like, where'd you go? Are you there?
There you go.
And then you incorporate like what you're doing, and you now add in personal goals, career goals. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of relationships, I think, and COVID had a lot to do with that, is testing relationships. Do we have it for the long haul?
Right.
Are we on the same page?
Yes.
And what happens when you wake up and you realize, oh shit, we're not even on in the same
group? You saw your real friends throughout that pandemic.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, man. Oh, I want to interject with something that you said about women, about rejection. I'm not going to quote it, you know, head to head, but I want to do my best with it. I was watching some TikTok University, but it made so much sense, Amber. They were really talking about like women becoming like CEOs and entrepreneurs and this and that, and why it's a little bit harder for women to become entrepreneurs to a certain degree. And they went all the way back to like high school, elementary and whatnot, about women do not have to go through the rejection phase how men do. So what I mean by that, and what I understood how they played it out, is that, think about it, a male has to ask a woman to prom in a sense of getting rejected. The woman doesn't get rejected from that. She has her own power in a different way. The male has to ask a girl on a date, possibly get rejected. So this guy, throughout the years, the more he probably tries to date this and that, et cetera, he starts getting numb to getting rejected. Like, oh, fuck it, next. But the female, she can't handle it. She can't bear it, you know, because shit, man, the last girl I just dated, I broke up with her, and she giving me the silent treatment. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, like, really? Like, okay, that makes no sense, but all right, whatever. You know, that shit still sucks. I thought we could be cool and be friends, but, you know, it's all good. But that's part of that rejection shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just made so much sense to me. And I was like, well, that's good. Then more girls need to start, at a younger age, start getting rejected then. You know, because girls are starting to ask boys to prom now, and I love it. Like, the roles are starting to switch a little bit. But this is where I want to build off of what you were saying, though, Amber, about that's cool and all, especially we as adults, you know, males and females going through this little sexist battle of putting one toe in, one toe out, you know, and our egos are getting in the way or not. But me working at the high school, what's really hurting is the families. Now you taking the woman out of the house, and I don't mean a woman like that. It could be a man that could be a stay-at-home dad. You took one of the nurturers out of the house that typically helped mold and raise the children, and now you have two masculine energies out in the field trying to go get the bag. So in anything that you do in life, something always has to give. So now we're sacrificing our marriages, our families, and our children's futures. You get what I'm saying? Because other people are raising these kids now, you know? And it's like,
and that's okay, scary.
It's scary. It's like, okay, lady, so when you think about it, like, don't have fucking kids then. Stay single or date or whatever. Get you a boy toy boy guy or something.
But that would go against what society's talking about, procreation and how you got to be part of the, you know, I mean, it's a double-edged sword.
Yep. And it's hard for me to say because I'm not a woman, but outside looking in, still, like, you know, me as a man, I would have to be extremely well off to a certain degree where I can, like, homeschool my kids and be around my kids, you know, as need be, and knowing how they're being groomed. Because I look at that as a job within itself. That's an investment, you know, instead of you just procreating and just to prolong your genes. It's like, no, you're adding people to the civilization. Can we add more quality, good people to the civilization? And not just because they were your kids and you just want them to be good. Like, half of y'all don't even know y'all kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, it's just like, all right, if you are not in a position or mentally well off, kind of like, how do I say this? Like, let's just say you have relationship issues with your partners, this and that, et cetera. You should not be procreating yet. You get what I'm saying? Until y'all have a healthy or some, I mean, you're going to have issues.
That's what I say. Yeah, but it's the pressure. It's the pressure that people felt like they fall under that. They become submissive to the pressure.
Gotcha.
That's what I think. That's my belief.
That's unfortunate.
Or things just happen and you unexpectedly have a child. But either way, I like, you know, like that. That's just a part of life. Sex is a beautiful pleasure, but it comes with some consequences. It does. And you have to, and a lot of times people are not thinking logically in that moment.
they're really not. That's true.
You know, so it's like you're going to get a percentage of society that wasn't prepared and don't know how it's going to turn out. And then you have some that have strategically planned that, like, okay, I'm financially set, I'm emotionally set, I'm, you know, geographically set, so let's do this. But a lot of times it doesn't pan out that way.
But I realize those are some of the new age healthier relationships now. I ain't seen women go all the way up to like 38 to start their families or not.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, that's smart because she got a lot of shit out her system. She got the work with herself, check off a bunch of boxes, this and that, et cetera. You know, and now she can focus on her family. You know what I mean?
And it's kind of like what you and I, when we have our little text exchange and we talk, we have said so much that we are still so young, 38 years old on this planet, and the grand big picture of life is fairly young. But if you plug it into society, they're going to tell you, oh my God, you're almost 40.
Right.
Oh my God, you're this. It's all downhill when you turn 45 to 50 to blah, blah, blah. And then you listen to someone like Gary Vee, who's like, hello, you're 60. You still got time.
You
can still start a business. You can become a millionaire. Shit happens like that overnight. If we are a speck on this planet compared to the whole entire solar system, like I was just watching on Hulu last night. I fell asleep to this documentary about the universe. And they were talking about the sun and how the sun is the only star in the universe, in the solar system. And like in the amount of just energy and the heat and everything coming from it, like that's out there.
Yet
our day-to-day lives are so dictated by what's happening on planet Earth, and it's so much larger than that. But then, you know, you're looked at as crazy or you don't know what you're talking about. But then it's like connecting with like-minded souls like you and anybody else. That's where you have to build your soul tribe to know that, like, I'm not alone with this big thinking,
right?
Because it's out there.
Oh, I love that. I'm not alone with this big thinking. I agree. But when you're around those small stars, those small thinking, boy, they can dim your light and make you second guess yourself sometimes.
You're still giving them that nice star, though. You still named them a star.
they look at it and say a speck of dust. Man, like,
speck of dust. Okay, so as we wrap up this awesome episode, which I think we're going to do a whole separate one on relationships because we have a lot to say about that. We're running out of time with this episode.
Oh, for sure.
But what do you want to leave for those that are listening that are maybe like looking to transform their lives or don't know how to elevate themselves to the next level?
Man, you know, definitely I would advise take some time, take a few steps back, reflect on your life. Evaluate everybody that's around you, because as they say, the five closest people to you will tell you a lot about who you are as a person. and see if those are the type of people that you truly want in your soul tribe. If not, you need to look deeper and change whatever it is within you. It's not going to be easy, but listen to podcasts like this, YouTubes, you know, TikToks, and, you know, other informational podcasts that's positive and informative, that's directed towards whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life at that time. You know, do that. Audiobooks, self-help books. Take the time and become a student of self, you know, before you re-enter this world as a broken person. Come home. Mm. We need you. We need you.
Mm. Come home. I love it. And then what are three recommendations of resources that to help people, whether it's book, YouTube star, Instagram influencer, whatever. What are three resources that you could recommend to someone?
Definitely. Top one is definitely YouTube. Just type in whatever it is that maybe you're having issues with, or having issues with someone else. Because sometimes you might have issues with someone else and realize and learn some things about yourself. Google, you know, same principles, you know, if you're a reader or not. And then after that, I would probably look into podcasts and self-help books, you know, just type in things that, you know, whatever, because there's so much out there. So if you're dealing with mm-hmm. depression, you know, anxiety, heartbreak, trying to start a business, you know, go in and type those things in and listen to other people that started where you started, because believe it or not, we all start from ground zero, you know. So.
And then my final question, well, my second and final question is, do you think there are still abundant businesses that can be created in society where we're at right now?
Oh, man. You know, I work in a school called New Tech Academy. So I tell the kids all the time, we are at the beginning of the 21st century. And I know they didn't grow up the Jetsons, but mm-hmm. we're headed towards the future, whatever that may entail. We already got automated driving cars, and, you know, we're going to have maids that are robots cleaning our houses, this and that. So there are so many ground things that are dealing with technology or whatever that you can add into this world that has not been tapped into yet, you know, because I truly can see a lot of mainstream industries crashing because some high school kid found the loophole and created a new software that
right.
took over that, whatever, you know, but we're all different. So you might have something, never think that you have a dumb idea or whatever it may be. And the reason why I say that is because whatever you believe, God, the universe, energy, when God gives you those thoughts, it's because you're one of the vessels that it believes that you can create it. It's the reason why other people didn't get that thought. They got their own thoughts or ideas, you know, but when you get those ideas, you got it because you're that chosen one. You know, like they say, it was five people that invented that light bulb, but Edison was just the one that got, you know, it published first. You get what I'm saying?
Right. So. And then my final question to you is, what does self-love mean to you?
Oh, man, I'm relearning that right now, Amber. That is a great question. Boundaries, 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 you know, protecting your energy at all costs, you know, creating those energetic boundaries for yourself. You know, just discipline, taking, nurturing yourself. You have to really learn to really self-parent yourself. And I say this because this about 2 weeks ago, I was going through myself because I'm moving, and I saw a baby picture of myself. You know, I just burst out in tears, and I just was like looking at that child that I once was, but as any other kid, you know, I didn't grow up without a father or not, but it was just like, yo, I'm going to start taking care of you now because I'm still that child, and we all are still that child.
Absolutely.
You know? So how you will love your children, you need to love yourself like that.
I love it. Okay, so where can people connect with you and reach out to you if they want more of more of Lorenzo?
Ooh, I like that. I'm working on my high performance lifestyle coach page, but right now you can find me at KingZo365 on TikTok, K KingZell365 on IG and KingZell365 on Snapchat. And we got Facebook as Zoe Wims.
All right. Well, this was awesome. Thank you so much for carving out some of your soul Sunday to Energy Exchange with me. And I know we got another one cooking in the near future.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for having me on, Emra. I appreciate you.
I want to thank Lorenzo Wims for joining me on this episode, bringing his level of consciousness and sharing it with you. So now I challenge you after this episode, what would it look like if you actually went after the things that you wanted and trusting that you could make it happen? We're here for a limited time. Until next time, remember to be kind to yourself and be kind to others. Peace and love.